Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's Church. You all get extra credit for coming out on this rainy, blustery Sunday. Thank you for gathering with us to make Eucharist.
As you are able, please stand and join us in singing hymn number 410, as found in your bulletin or your blue hymnal.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be thy kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity. And that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and praise shouts for the chiefs of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor, together, a great company they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in the straight path, in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. The former priests were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, and then for those of the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests those who are subject to weakness, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
The canon law of the Episcopal Church allows and encourages bishops from time to time to send to their congregations a pastoral letter to be read by all at all the churches on Sunday morning. Bishop Hoagland has sent us such a pastoral letter. So for our homily today, I'm going to read the bishop's letter, and then Bill James is going to share a brief story related to the letter. To the people of the Diocese of Western Michigan, as we make final preparations for the 144th Diocesan Convention of the Episcopal Diocese of Western Michigan, I request your fervent prayers for our diocese, for the communities we serve, and for our nation. We need God's help and your support to expand and energize our work of healing and reconciliation, to address the growing divisions in American life. A little less than 3 days after the gavel closes on our 144th Diocesan Convention, America's polls will open for the 2018 midterm election. When the polls finally close, Americans could end up more bitterly divided than we are already. No matter who wins, all of us might end up losing. I am concerned about this growing chasm of distrust and fear amongst us and the increasing hostility being expressed towards entire segments of our varied communities. This distrust and fear is the opposite of the spirit of reconciliation embodied in the work of the Episcopal Church. As Episcopalians, our mission is to restore all people to unity with God and each other as we pray and worship, proclaim the gospel, and promote justice, peace, and love. The challenges facing the Jesus movement in Western Michigan are enormous, and among the most urgent is the need for racial reconciliation. This is also an area where we are well positioned to take important new steps toward effective action. In 2017, our diocesan convention passed a resolution calling for the development of a policy and procedure requiring that, quote, persons running for any elected diocesan position must have completed an approved course of study on racial reconciliation. Our Diocesan Commission on Dismantling Racism has done great work. Working in conjunction with your bishop, they have developed a policy and procedure that was passed unanimously by your diocesan council at its September 2018 meeting. Regardless of who you are, your background, or your beliefs, we are all shaped by systems, including within the church, in which attitudes, social practices, and power dynamics intentionally and unintentionally create unfair advantages or disadvantages for groups of people based on race. Simply put, racism is prejudice coupled with power. Racism, in all its varieties, exists to help those holding power and control to maintain power and control. It is only when we see and recognize the overarching role of racism as a system that we can begin to examine its consequences and seek ways to change. Our sincere engagement in dismantling racism is a necessary step towards making visible God's likeness and goodness in every person. As your bishop, I now call upon us to take up our mission, to seek restoration and unity by fully giving ourselves to the work of dismantling racism in our lives. The new policy and procedure for dismantling racism in the Episcopal Diocese of Western Michigan outlines a course of study on racism awareness and reconciliation. Phase 1, understanding the history of racism, U.S. origins of racism, institutional racism, awareness of personal bias. Phase 2, committing to intentional personal and public change. Phase 3, creating a parish plan and determining outcomes to be measured and follow-up activities to maintain momentum. This will not be easy work. It will require humility, vulnerability, honesty, and courage. It will take graceful listening with gentle responses. It will require patience and prayer, lots of prayer, as we seek to shift our awareness and our actions so we might become agents of healing and reconciliation in our communities and in our time. I look forward to taking up this work with you and moving deeper into our relationship with God as we move deeper into relationship with one another. I am honored to be your bishop. May the blessing of God Almighty be with us now and always. The Right Reverend Wayne M. Hoagland, Jr., 9th Bishop, the Episcopal Diocese of Western Michigan.
Good morning. I'd like to share with you an experience that I had about a year ago during the convention last November. You heard in Bishop Holdland's letter this morning that we did pass the resolution to create a policy and procedure to begin to restore and heal racism in our diocese and in the world. That initiative has been going on for a number of years with the commission that has existed for as many. During convention, the whole weekend, there was discussion about this resolution, understanding that it was going to come to a vote toward the end on Saturday afternoon, and many people got up and spoke here and there. I even got up at one point and spoke for the resolution. The discussion around the resolution was always positive. It was always, we're going to do this. It's natural. We got to do this. It was always about, well, how do we go about it? Who do we send it to? Do we send it to diocesan council? Do we send it to the bishop? How is it going to work? Is it elected officials? Is it everybody in every church? How does it all work out? Toward the end of the convention, just before we got to the point when we were going to vote on this resolution, a man got up, a black man, and he was crying. And he spoke against the resolution, saying that we should all vote no on the resolution. And I didn't understand at the time. It was very confusing, and I think most of us didn't understand entirely either. He spoke for a little while, and by the time that he got done, there probably wasn't much of a dry eye in the whole convention hall. Well, of course, over the next day or so, the Holy Spirit came along, and I can't remember exactly what it is that Randall always says, but finally, suddenly appeared. This man was not saying that we should not have a policy or that we should not work toward, you know, racial healing. No. He was saying we shouldn't have to have a rule. We shouldn't need a policy. It should be natural for all of us to not want racism. So we shouldn't have to go through classes. We shouldn't have to have rules. It should just happen. And we should all here know that. Now, Jesus brings us two laws. And we all know them. We all remember them. Law number one, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Rule two, love your neighbor as yourself. Bartimaeus, in this morning's gospel, cried after Jesus. And when he was asked, what is it that you want? He said, I want to see. Well, this man that I met last year, and many like him, have cried out for years to Jesus and to each one of us. And when he and they are asked, what is it that you want? Their response is, we want all people to be the same. We want us all to love each other. We don't want divisions. We don't want racism. My brothers and sisters, no matter who they are, no matter what color they are, what race, what religion, what sex, sexuality, whatever, our instructions are love your neighbor as yourself. I would urge you to follow, to pay attention, and to contribute to the four phases that the bishop has talked about in his letter. That's not going to happen instantaneously. It will probably happen over a year or so, or maybe more. But it is our responsibility to do our best to love our neighbors and end racism. Amen.
As you are able, please stand and join with me in proclaiming our faith that spans the ages and covers the earth by reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. Acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Gracious God, you enrich our lives with an abundance of good things. Our tables overflow with your generosity. Help each of us journey through a life of stewardship, thankful for every meal and blessing.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Gracious God, you call us to your table to share the tastes of eternal life here and hereafter. We pray for all people of faith, and particularly for Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael in deacon's formation. We pray for Malcolm, who is to be baptized on All Saints Sunday.
As we gather at your table, we anticipate the feast at the fulfillment of time. We give thanks for Clifford, Zachary, Paula, Jim, Reed, Katie, Tomio, Wally, Fred, Eric, Mary, Joanne, who are celebrating birthdays. Pam and Rob, Janet and Roberto, Stacy and Greg, who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, and for Michael, Andrew, and Christopher, who are celebrating baptismal anniversaries.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Gracious God, we recognize that the abundance of our supermarkets is not shared by many of your children around the world. We pray for all those who are hungry, poor, or in any distress. We also pray for those who seek to help our world and its people. Donald, our president, our legislators and judges, loaves and fishes, Yana, peacemakers, and for Courtney, James, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, and Stephen, who serve in the armed forces.
Gracious God, most experienced life is a feast of opportunities. We give you thanks for these many blessings, and we pray for those whose lives are far from the abundance you intend. We pray particularly for all who are sick, all who are addicted, and all who are homeless, remembering especially Mike, Stephen, Ruthie, Ron, George, Hope, Charlotte, Dan, Carolyn, Kristen, Caitlin, Helen, Jessica, Rusty, Pete, Sid, Lisa, Donald, Don, Nancy, John, Todd, Carol, John, Wada, Ben, Arlene, EJ, Mary, Colby, and all who are affected by natural disaster.
That the Lord is good. Now gathered at your table, O God, are all those who have departed this life.
We remember especially those who died in the synagogue shooting yesterday in Philadelphia.
Pittsburgh.
See that the Lord is good. Almighty God, we thank you for making the earth fruitful so that it might produce what is needed for life. Bless those who work in the fields. Give us seasonable weather. And grant that we may all share the fruits of the earth, rejoicing in your goodness through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Most merciful God, we confess.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For by water and the Holy Spirit, you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you've made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me."
Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, descend your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. in the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with Mary the God-bearer, Luke and John and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, we now sing.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Praise God.
David and Sarah, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in this holy communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share in one bread and one cup.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.